Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. Lots of great action coming up this afternoon. Big day down at Laurel. We'll be joined in a while by Dave Rodman to talk some of the Laurel Stakes action, but it's a really big day. Another really big day. We mentioned on the Handicappers Report earlier, they've got a nice trail down at the fairgrounds all season long for the various divisions, and this is another one of those big weekends with a lot of great stakes action highlighted today down at the fairgrounds by the Risen Star for the three-year-olds. So who better to reach out to than our friend Joe Christofek, the paddock commentator down at the fairgrounds. Joe, good morning.
Fast main track on the turf for the three stakes and jam-packed 13 race card, $500,000 guaranteed late all stakes pick five with that low 15% takeout, certainly a wager you want to get involved in.
Yeah, great day, great wagering opportunities, big, full competitive fields. We'll talk about the Risen Star in just a second. But talk also about New Orleans and what it's going to be like over the next few days, because it is a big week coming up, not just at the racetrack, but down in New Orleans as well.
Yeah, just looking forward to getting started. I mean, the whole week leading up to it, just a lot of hype here about Hoosier Philly and a lot of the three-year-old males on the road, the Kentucky Derby needing to prove themselves, going a mile and an eighth, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm ready to put them in the starting gate.
Nice. All right, let's jump in. Fairgrounds 13th race today. It's going to go off our time about 7:15. The Risen Star for the three-year-olds. I'm going to pull up a replay of the Smarty Jones. And I said on the handicapping show earlier, boy, I really like Victory Formation. And Victory Formation is going to be the winner here, the number 8 horse. Angel of Empire is going to run second, the number 7. And I would have gone with Victory Formation, but boy, the 13 post, I think, is a little bit of an obstacle. So I went with the horse that ran second. I'm going to go with Angel of Empire on top, Victory Formation second. I think Harlow Cap is interesting, Tappet's Conquest. And I'm going to have some money on Sun Thunder if that one goes off at a price, because I liked Sun Thunder quite a bit in the Southwest, disappointed there, but has been working nicely since for Ken McPeak. But I put Angel of Empire on top. What are your thoughts in the Risen Star?
Yeah, we're thinking about this very similarly, Seth, and I hope when you're showing the replay of the Southwest, you're showing it through the gallop out, because that's where Angel of Empire is asked to go even further by jockey Joe Talamo, and I asked Brad Cox about that, and he said, yeah, that was by design. We think this horse wants to go at least a mile and an eighth. We asked him why, you started this horse's career at Indiana. And he basically said, we thought the horse needed some more time to develop, and he's developed even more nicely than we could have hoped. I think they're high on all three of their horses. Victory Formation, mile and an eighth, other speed in the race, long run into the first turn should maybe help him sort himself out on the backstretch, but he's obviously undefeated and very proven. Then you've got the hype horse, Tappet's Conquest, who the clockers really like here, and I don't think you're going to get 6-1 on him. I wouldn't be shocked if he was vying for the favoritism with Victory Formation with all the hype I've heard. And then I'm with you. I think Angel of Empire is going to be the forgotten horse of the three. He's 8-1 in the morning line, and I think we might get an even better price than that.
Yeah, Luis Saez in for the ride. That intrigued me as well. You mentioned Tappet's Conquest. I heard you and the team yesterday on the radio with Steve Bick, and it seemed like there is plenty of buzz on Tappet's Conquest down there at the fairgrounds.
Well, he probably should have won the allowance race. He was the best horse that day. Didn't have the greatest of trips. Galloped out in front. The Cox team was raving about how he was training going into that race, and Ravy even more about how he's training coming out of it. So, yeah, he's the buzz horse, I would say, leading into the race this afternoon. And, you know, I don't think the value is going to be there, but I would not be surprised if he won.
Yeah, it looks like a really great addition of the Risen Star. Looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to the three-year-old fillies and the Rachel Alexander. I think a lot of us are. I'm sure Tommy Amos is, because he has been high on Hoosier Filly throughout her career. We're going to go back and look at the Goldenrod back on November 26th, which wrapped up her two-year-old season. Hoosier Filly's going to be the number four horse here, an easy winner to run her record to 3-for-3. I put her on top, but I said on the handicapping show earlier, I think Chop Chop, with a decent little number in the three-year-old debut in the Silver Bullet Day, could be right in the ballpark and pretty mischievous for Brendan Walsh in the three-year-old debut this afternoon. I think she's interesting as well, but I'm looking forward to seeing the three-year-old season start for Hoosier Filly. Your thoughts in the Rachel Alexandra?
I arrived at Fairgrounds in early December, and the local brigade of sports reporters that marginally cover horse racing were all telling me about this horse. I got there's been a lot of buzz, and finally we get to find out if she can back it up on the racetrack. A lot of people are aboard the hype train. I happen to be one of them. I know there's a lot of people that are willing to oppose her because they don't think she's necessarily as fast or even, you know, has an edge of any kind when it comes to speed figures against you know, the likes of Chop Chop, and you know, maybe Miracle can get on the lead. Maybe Vav is going to take a step forward. A lot of people are looking to price shop and play against her, but she's been bored in her races. She hasn't even had to try. She's had three bullet workouts leading up to the Rachel Alexandra. And I was talking to a few people this week that are like, well, you know, is she fit enough to go a mile and a 16th off of just three works? I remember this specifically because I asked myself the same question when Tom ran Serengeti Empress in the Rachel Alexandra a few years ago. It was the same deal, only three works leading in, and she was very fit and very ready. This horse came back off the farm fit, and it was just a matter of really tightening the screw. So as a publicist, as a fan of the game, I'm hoping she puts on another show.
Yeah, looking forward to the Rachel Alexandra, because you're right. These are the kind we just like, and if it's a short price, you sit back and you root, or you plug it into one of the pick bets and move on. Looking forward to seeing what she can do. A little bit of, I will say, with Chop Chop, and for me, pretty mischievous as well, I think it is a little more of an acid test maybe for her, but also it's a starting point for a trail that obviously will lead to Kentucky for Tommy Amos and company.
Yeah, I think Brad Cox, I pretty much know Brad Cox, was a little bit surprised. Not necessarily disappointed, because the horse that beat her last out was her stablemate, the Alice Look. But it looked like Chop Chop was going to run right by, and she kind of hung a little bit in the stretch. And the first thing I put in my notes was blinkers, question mark. So no surprise at all to see the blinkers go on Chop Chop. I think she might be a better horse with the addition of the hood. And Brad Cox is really good at equipment changes. If you look at the blinkers on, blinkers off stats for him, high percentage of wins and a positive ROI. So Chop Chop to me is the main threat. And then Vava, I think, still has some upside. She lost all chance in the Untappable when she broke slowly. Of the horses, you know, that are in Hoosier Filly, I think she's the one that maybe could take a couple steps forward still.
Very good. Let's go a couple races earlier. The Mineshaft, and again, these big days down at the Fairgrounds hit the various divisions, and it's another great addition of the Mineshaft with a nice field of older horses in here and some newly turned four-year-olds that are going to be interested to see. I wound up on Pioneer of Medina, but with some trepidation. I'm going to pull up the Fairgrounds race from January of last year, where Todd Pletcher elected to come over and try on a big day over at the Fairgrounds some optional claiming company. And Pioneer Medina is going to be the number three horse here. Subsequently went on to try the Louisiana Derby and the Risen Star as well. But at the triple-digit buyer in the Harlan's Holiday attracted my attention, plus this win last year over the track. Mr. Wireless is interesting. Tawny Port for Brad Cox in his four-year-old debut. Run Classic, I thought, could be a little bit interesting. But horses like King Fury, this is a fun addition to the Mineshaft. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Kentucky Derby didn't go well for Pioneer Medina, and the two races afterwards did not go well at all either. So I remember when he came into Churchill Downs on November 17th, I was skeptical. He only won that race by a half length, but he ran a lot better than it looks on paper. He broke slowly. It was an honest pace, but a controlled pace. He was five wide on the turn, and I thought it was a really good effort and kind of put him back on the right track. I bet him that day in the Harlan's Holiday, and he ran a good second at 12-1. He likes fairgrounds. Luis Saez gets along well with him, and he's going to be forwardly placed. I think it's a great betting race. I landed on Happy American. He's done nothing wrong. He was able to win the Louisiana, overcoming a 49-3 half mile for a horse that's normally a deep closer, and he defeated two horses that were running hard to the wire, Mr. Wireless and Forza D'Oro, both of whom had a tactical advantage on him that day. So if we see the Happy American we've seen already this meet, if he's not a little bit run down from those races and he brings his A-plus game back to the table, I think he can win again. And then Big Blue Line was awesome in his two other than allowance race here. He did it the right way. He'll get first run on some of the closers, and he'll have an honest pace to run at. That's the other one I'll be using at 8-1.
Yeah, Big Blue Line kind of scared me. I debated going back and forth there. Corey Lannery also having a pretty good meet. And we didn't talk about the human side. Corey Lannery having a good meet. Raylu Gutierrez having a good meet down there as well.
Yeah, Corey's riding great. He's been riding great since the middle of the year in Kentucky. And he, you know, doesn't get as many opportunities, and I don't think he really wants them. Here at Fairgrounds, likes to ride the better races, but he's had some different difference-making rides. And, he's certainly a positive on Big Blue Line, and he has experience on the horse.
All right. We'll touch on one more race. You and I were talking before we went on the air, and I looked at this card for our handicapping show earlier. And as I led into this race, I said, this eighth at the Fairgrounds optional claimer is a very nice bunch. Certainly, they will play in stakes, three-year-old stakes action as the year goes along. The eighth race at the Fairgrounds for me, I went back to First Defender off the very big debut victory for Steve Asmussen. John Velasquez in on the afternoon and will pick up the ride. But Banishing with that 90 buyer figure last time clearly will take a lot of action. And Dennington stepping out of stakes company, interesting this afternoon as well. Cagliostro for Cherie DeVoe probably has to step it up, but if you're looking for a price, I can make a little bit of an argument there. What do you think in the eighth?
Yeah, I talked to Steve on the phone the other day, and he said First Defender was the most talented horse he was running on the card. So that tells you something. He's got three in the Risen Star and several others sprinkled throughout the program. Dominant on debut at Fairgrounds. The pedigree says he'll have no problem stretching out, although people that have seen him train in the mornings are a little bit skeptical about how far he wants to go. I'd love to see him win. I bet him at 97-1 in Kentucky Derby Future Wager Pool number 4. So I'd love to see him do well and move on to the Louisiana Derby. Banishing had that slight setback as he was scratched on LeCompte Day. He's trained well coming out of it. He appears to be over the minor issue that he had. And, you know, like you said, he was spectacular in his maiden breaker. But those two horses are going to get bet down. There's a lot of hype on both of them. I think the horse that's going to slip through the cracks is Cagliostro, who didn't run all that fast when he won here on January 21st. But the speed figure doesn't even tell half the story. He was pinched back at the start, lost about 5 lengths, and then had a 4-wide trip, and then was 6-wide on the turn. And he still drew even while still in hand that day. He was a little bit green in the stretch. It seemed like he had a lot more to give, but he didn't need to as he drew out to win by more than 3 lengths. He's 8-1 in the morning line. If we can get 9-2, 5-1 on Cagliostro, I would gladly take it. Like I said, I think you're going to see a big step forward from him here, and he might be a little bit of the forgotten horse with two horses in this race and First Defender and Banishing taking a lot of the hype.
I totally agree that horse is interesting, and I think there will be some value because the way people focus on the buyer figures so much now. The numbers are a little light, but as you say, it was a troubled trip. It was a nice win. So that one's interesting to me as well. Joe, we appreciate the visit, but as always, before we let you go, just want to give you a chance to tout your brilliant horse racing partnership. I know over the past few years, some locals up here have been involved in some of the brilliant racing horses via the partnership. Talk a little bit about what Brilliant Horse Racing has coming up. And again, folks can always find out more by going to brilliant horse racing.com. But what's up for the partnership?
Yeah, we've been a little bit light on action lately. We've only got one horse here at the fairgrounds. He's an unraced Mastery Gelding by the name of Remastered. And I think he's going to debut the middle of March for Michelle Lovell. He's been training well. I think we're going to be able to run in one of those auction maiden special weight races. We've had some bad luck in partnership four. We've lost a couple of horses. We've lost another horse due to injury. So been a little bit of tough sledding. We got some money in the bank to look for a claim coming up toward the end of Oaklawn, a horse that we could bring to Churchill. And then we've got three newly turned two-year-olds that we're looking very forward to running in the next several months. One of them is the Dual Guru. We named him in honor of John G. Dooley at Fairgrounds in Horseshoe, Indianapolis, my good friend, the announcer. He's a Louisiana bred, so look forward to him coming up this upcoming season, next season at the Fairgrounds. And then we've got the half to we've got a nice Blaine Colt that we're looking very forward to running. And then we've got a Unified as well. And they're both in Kentucky and looking forward to getting them rolling. And so far, the physicals, the reports on how they're training have been great. So, you know, lots to look forward to with these unraced horses. And hopefully we get a little bit better luck this time around.
Always fun when I see a brilliant racing horse in the PP. So we'll be looking for those coming up down the road. But again, if folks are interested and want to learn more and maybe want to become involved, brilliant horse racing.com. Joe, always appreciate the visit. I see the team is all together for this afternoon. Scott Shapiro in town as well, Kevin Kilroy, you mentioned John Dooley. I always tout that you guys do great, your pregame and your paddock. Always like you're sitting with some guys at the track and having a good discussion about the horse races. Always do a good job. So again, appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, best of luck to everybody today. Phenomenal card. Looking forward to getting rolling here.
Very good. Joe Kristofek from the Fairgrounds on a really, really nice stakes day, highlighted by the Risen Star. All right, coming up a little bit later on, it's a big day also down at Laurel. We'll be joined by Dave Rodman. But in the meantime, we'll take a break, come back, hit on some news and notes and more. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Some sad news this past week. We talked a little bit about it when we were doing OTB Live earlier this week. Trainer John Veach, who, if you were around the game as long as I have, a notable name, mainly because of Aladar. That was part of the Aladar versus Affirmed matchups pulled me into the game, and I'm sure a lot of other people as well. John Veach passing away earlier this week. He was 77 years old. Sad news. A lot of folks familiar with John in this area because, you know, again, he was based a lot of the time in New York and wound up being a steward down in Kentucky a little bit later on. But, yeah, that being the trainer of Aladar kind of stepped out. John was eventually inducted into the Hall of Fame. That was back in 2007. Pulled up some of his career stats. 2,300-plus starts, 410 victories. Won the Breeders' Cup Classic with Proud Truth. Trained, if I have it here, four champions: Before Dawn, Devona Dale, R. Mims, and Sunshine Forever. Spent a lot of the career as the, you know, private trainer for a resurgent Calumet Farm, and Aladar was part of that pack. And Aladar, I pulled up also the career stats for Aladar. Aladar, 26 starts, 14 wins, 9 seconds, and a third. And I mentioned the Affirmed Aladar matchups. It's hard to believe now, but when they matched up in the Traverse, that was their 10th meeting. You know, these days, to think of two top-quality horses who get to the Traverse, you know, just past the midpoint of the three-year-old season and have met 10 times, that's hard to believe. We'll see something like that. But you look at the two-year-old season for Aladar. Debuted in a stakes race in May of 1977, ran fifth, then went into more proper maiden special company, won that, went in the Great American Stakes, won that, the Tremont, won that, the Sapling, won that, then second in the Hopeful up at Saratoga, second in the Futurity, won the Champagne, second in the Laurel Futurity, which was a prominent grade one back then, second in the Remsen. So what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Had 10 starts as a two-year-old and a magnificent record. And again, the notable comes into the three-year-old season, wins an allowance, the Flamingo, the Florida Derby, the Bluegrass, and then goes to the Triple Crown and runs second three times behind Affirmed. Goes out and wins the Arlington Classic, wins the Whitney against older horses, and then in the Travers runs second. But two Affirmed, but Affirmed gets disqualified. I was there that day, had a winning ticket on Aladar, so it worked out for me. Boy, that was some rivalry between those two. And John Veach, obviously, is the trainer of Aladar, a big, big part of that. And again, he went on to also have the four champions I mentioned. Devona Dale, who was just spectacular as well. Just sad news that earlier this week, John Veach having passed away. And I will tout you, I'm trying to think of the, I think it was Thursday, it might have been Wednesday. But you can go back, my colleague here, you know, in the summertime, Loose on the Lead, Steve Bick and his Sirius XM radio show. Go back and pull up the archives, and you'll be able to tell because they'll list the guest, and you'll figure it out from there. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. Devoted a large portion of the show to kind of paying tribute to John Veach. Had on, you know, various people from the industry remembering him. Shug talked a little bit. But our friend and colleague, formerly here on the network, and John Veach's cousin, Mike Veach, kind of wound up the 3 hours on Bick's show. Again, it was either Wednesday or Thursday. If you go to the Steve Bick Radio website, click on the archives. Again, if you look at Wednesday or Thursday, you'll tell from the guest lineup. And we're taking a listen to as folks remembered John and his personality and his career and whatnot. So, again, a little bit of sad news with trainer John Veach, former trainer John Veach, passing away earlier this week. All right, we'll take a break. As promised a little bit earlier, we will be joined by our friend Dave Rodman because, again, it is a nice day down at the fairgrounds, but it's a nice stakes day at Laurel as well, and we'll cover some of that stakes action coming up with our friend Dave Rodman, track announcer down at Laurel, so stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. If you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream, it was like this big fairy tale place. All the history.
Shoemaker sitting perfectly still, he hasn't touched this magnificent colt, and here comes the finish.
And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Dave Rodman from Laurel Park. Yet another, I say it all the time, Laurel in the wintertime, every few weeks there is a really nice stakes day down at Laurel. Today, one of those, the General George, the Barber Fritchie, and more. So who better to reach out to than our friend Dave Rodman? Dave, good morning.
Yeah, I can hear you. Kind of, 50-50, but I can make out what you're saying. Go ahead.
Very good. I just was setting up the day, big stakes day down at Laurel. Give us a little update on what the weather looks like today.
Well, we did not train on the track this morning. No training this morning because we had rain Thursday and Friday. It was not a heavy rain, but a good, steady, moderate rain. And the temps went from 62 yesterday to the upper 20s last night.
Yeah.
So right now, the track is listed as muddy because the track didn't really have a chance to dry out yesterday. It's sunny today. It was chilly this morning, but temperatures above freezing now. So I would expect a muddy to a good track throughout most of the afternoon.
All right, let's jump into it. We'll work our way back to General George, a Grade 3 event. They're going to go 7 furlongs. I pulled up a replay of the fire plug. It's going to be number 5, Factor It In, getting it done under Yodel E-A-U. And I think Factor In, coming in off the 2 wins last time, 8-for-12 at Laurel, is the direction I'm going to go. I thought Baron was a little bit interesting, coming off an allowance win down at Parks, and a second to Factor In, 2 back. Pirate Rick is interesting, off the triple-digit buyer, 2 back. I'm just wondering if Pirate Rick isn't better at 6 furlongs. But again, I went with Factor It In. What did you see in the General George?
Yeah, well, Lynn Cash has a bunch of horses in today, and he seems to kind of have them cornered in this race, right? He's got Pirate Rick as the speed, Eastern Bay as the closer, and also Sir Alfred James, who's able to close from just off the pace as well. So I'm going to lean to one of the Lynn Cash runners, and that's the elder Eastern Bay, the Maryland bred. He's won 18 times, 12 of those wins here at Laurel. He's 12th authority for at this track, and a good run in the Bold Ruler last year as an eight-year-old. He's coming off a layoff, but he should have a suitable pace for him to run on us today. The horse that's the in-horse, the now horse, the horse that's really looked great on the track on looks the last two times out, is Factor It In. At seven, he's better than ever. He's got those silver dollar dapple gray spots on him. He's looked good for Carlos Mancilla. So if there's any horse that's going to continue his form, I think it would be a Factor It In. Barron, very honest horse. He's got a win and a second here at Laurel Park. And Frankie Pennington back aboard after a win at Parks. He was beaten by Factor It In as a favorite here at Laurel on December 30th. And I thought he beat him pretty fair and square. But the kind of the long shot to throw in your triple is Momo's.
Yeah.
30-1 in the morning line from the Michael Trombetta barn. He was second behind John the Bear. He's able to close. He was kind of on the worst part of the track last time out. Up there, dropped back, and came again despite being on the worst part of the track. I don't think he can win the race, but if you're looking for somebody kind of underneath in those triples or supers, that's Momo's, the two horse. And I'm going to stick with Eastern Bay, one of the Lynn Cash horses in here in the ninth. He also has Sir Alfred James in here, beaten favorite at Charlestown last time out. Very capable down inside there. But the way the track flow's been playing here lately, I think Eastern Bay's got a good draw.
Yeah, I think it's a fun competitive field. And as you kind of alluded to, some nice veterans in here. A couple of 7-year-olds, 9-year-old Pirate Rick. 6-year-old Pirate Rick, 9-year-old Eastern Bay. And I agree totally on Momos. If that one floats around at a price, I wouldn't sleep on Momos, at least in your mix somewhere. Let's go a little bit earlier. The Barbara Fritchie Grade 3 event. Feed de Spree is really interesting to me, and I'm going to pull up the replay of the What a Summer. Feed de Spree is going to be the number 6 horse here winning. She has won 12 times in 19 starts at Laurel and comes in off this victory, easy victory last time. But I'm going to tilt towards Past the Champagne for George Weaver. Had the seasonal debut off a long layoff down at Tampa last time and just missed. I think she's going to benefit from that. And I like that they're coming up from Palm Beach Downs to take the shot in the Fritchie with Past the Champagne. But what are your thoughts in the Fritchie?
Fia de Spree, another Maryland bred here, looking to beat some open company. She's run her best against state bred's restricted races, but she is a solid, solid filly. I've got a good draw, a mare rather, and she's gone from $10,000 claim to perhaps Grade 3 fame today. She was claimed for only $10,000. She's earned $685,000 now, lifetime, 12 wins out of 14 tries here at Laurel. So she likes the track. She'll get a good trip from right off the pace. The only time she kind of didn't fire when Sway and To and Fro beat her on December 30th, she was down inside, maybe not the place to be that day. She likes to kind of run outside and make like a 3-wide bid toward them. She'll get it today in the 7-horse field. The horse that did beat her is very tough. Sway and To and Fro. I mean, she's another horse that's really, really in form, has never really thrown in a bad race. She's been all around the same fillies and mares. She's got some good tactical early speed in here. And there's not a lot of blazing early pace in this race. I think I'm going to try to attack to go right to the front with her. She could be tough to catch on or near the pace, swaying To and Fro. And Past the Champagne is an intriguing mare to me. She's lightly raced, 5-year-old, only 6 tries. But she was second in the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland a couple years ago. And she has the best off Lasix buyer number. Remember, they're not running with Lasix here in the Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie. So interesting horse, lightly raced. Don't know what to do with her. She won't be much of a value price, though. I think maybe if you're looking for a pace factor, there could be a better price. It's swaying To and Fro. So swaying To and Fro, Feed the Spree, and the question mark on Past the Champagne, especially if she's anything less than 3-1.
I'm right in the same ballpark. I will toss out one other. I thought Union Lake for John Terranova coming down from New York could be an interesting player. But it's 3-1 on the morning line. I think I'd like a tick or two more on that one if I was going to play around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Union Lake looks like she'll be close to the pace. She's kind of a similar filly as past the Champagne. Yeah. Kind of untested here at Laurel, though. Laurel lover, Key to Spree. Can she do it, the Maryland bred?
Yeah, looking forward to that race to watch her, because she is really talented. You love to see those kind of horses. A little bit earlier, the Nellie Morse for the fillies and mares, mile and a 16th, the trip. I pulled up a replay, went back to the Geisha on January 21st. The number 3 is going to be Award Wanted. She's back in here this afternoon and comes in with the win in the Geisha and a win just before that. So she's running a 2-race win streak by the best, I thought, could be a little bit intriguing in here as well. But I'm tilting towards Award Wanted. What are your thoughts on the Nellie Morse?
I'm going to lean a little bit here towards Frankie Pennington and Butch Reed on Pistol Liz Ablazin. That her last race on the sloppy track at Parks, kind of an even-paced non-fire in the stretch, made a 3-wide bid in the race, and she certainly needed the race. She's won going 2 turns at Parks, on and off going, and we have a bit of an off-track this afternoon. It'll be drying up by then, perhaps even rated good, but right now rated muddy. So the second off the cycle here for Philly, who has the ability to stretch out. She's won going long. And a kind of an up-and-comer in this spot. Hybrid Eclipse has been up and down and up and down. Moved the Brittany Russell barn from Linda Rice barn back last year. She won the Caesar's Wish here, and she kind of went off form in her next two starts, Timonium and then the Belmont Aqueduct meet. But she's come back. She's never really dazzled with numbers or style. But she's the kind of a mare that likes to run all day. And if she's in good form right now, she'll be tough to hold down. But she's a short price in there at 2-1. I'm going to try Pistol Liz Ablazin, kind of like a second off the layoff here. Award Wanted from the Jerry Robb barn. Had the perfect trip, going 5.5 furlongs with a duel up front. But proved that was not a fluke. She came back to win at a mile, but it was a one-turn mile here at Laurel, remember. So she's also a question at the distance, for sure. She has won going long, but she only beat hashtag Lucky Battle Cry when she won going long at Delaware back in July. I'm going to lean to the 5 in this spot, maybe take a shot at singling her in the multiple race wagers.
Yeah, nice competitive race, but that is maybe a theme because one race earlier, another competitive bunch. I wrote that at the top of my page in the John Campbell, $100,000 up for grabs, 8.5 furlongs. I'm going to pull up the Maryland Millions Classic from back in October. We're going to watch Our Nation on Parade get it done. And I went back to that race to kind of land there. Clever Claim down at Churchill off the $50,000 claim. They won this Maryland Millions race subsequently. Second in the Richard Small, third in another couple of stakes down at Laurel subsequently. So, again, kind of a clever claim back in September down at Churchill for Our Nation on Parade. But Plot the Dots at 10-1, I think, is very intriguing in here. And Vance Scholars off the win last time also attracted me a little bit. What are your thoughts on the Campbell?
Which horse did you say you thought was intriguing?
I have Our Nation on Parade on top, but I thought Plot the Dots, the number one horse at the 10-1 price, was very interesting.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Shake 'em Loose is scratched, by the way, just to FYI.
Okay.
Again, Lynn Cash, Plot the Dots, Lynn Cash with Treasure Trove. I'm going to go with Treasure Trove in this spot. 3 wins, 3 seconds at Laurel, 11 wins, looking for 3 straight. Good form right now. Treasure Trove is going to sit perfect spot in here. I think Our Nation on Parade is going to be a little bit overplayed in here. He was claimed for 50 for the specific spot at winning the Classic. He did not follow through as a beaten favorite in his last 3 starts, but people love to play him because of Ness, because of Rodriguez, that combination jockey-trainer, and the fact that he's always right there on the pace. But he was a beaten favorite by horses he's running against here, again, in the last 3 starts, Armando R., Nimitz Class, and your horse to the inside there, Plot the Dots, one of the Lynn Cash runners. Interesting, though, Plot the Dots, 8 wins, all of them here at Laurel. He loves this track, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right, yeah, you're right. All of the 8, yeah, that's very interesting there. All right, let's go a little bit earlier because love to hear your opinion on the 3-year-old races. This time of year, that's always a lot of fun, and we'll start things off taking a look at the 3-year-old boys in the Miracle Wood. They're going to be going a mile. I pulled up a replay of the spectacular bid from January 21st. It's going to be the number 2, Prince of Jericho, getting it done. 3 for 5 with a second and a third, and this win in the spectacular bid. Short price, but I wound up there. Coffee with Chris running second in this race, and B West running third. And I just kind of went for a replay of the spectacular bid. But what did you see in the Miracle Wood?
Yeah, he was conclusively best there over Coffee with Chris and B West that day. Though B West did get in some trouble down the backstretch, lost his action, got lost in the shuffle there, but actually came on to run quite well in this spot. So I think you've got to use the 7 B West. But there's a little bit of a buzz, in this race on number 2, Riccio.
Oh, okay.
Blinker's going on, and he's a first-time gelding. He's had 3 really good works since that race and the last year in the Heft when he was beaten by Coffee with Chris and Prince of Jericho since then. So he's first-time gelding today. Riccio, I think he's as good as a single today. I'm going to take a shot with him, maybe to down Prince of Jericho, and maybe protection there with Prince of Jericho from the Brittany Russell barn. But first-time gelding, adding the blinkers, the works are solid coming into the race. And when he was beaten there by Coffee with Chris and Prince of Jericho, that was kind of a weird speed day. Speed held a lot that day, December 30th here at Laurel. And today he should have a little bit better trip. Wet track, he's won on it. So we've got muddy going into the opener, I think, at least. Perhaps even good to muddy by 4th race today. Riccio, one of my better plays today.
I like it. Very interesting there. And the girls face off one race earlier in the Wide Country, $100,000. They'll go 7 furlongs. I pulled up a replay of the Franklin Square, again, going back to January. This one, January 22nd, up in New York. The Franklin Square is a New York bred stakes race. This is a New York bred, but ran against Open Company at Laurel 2-back, running 3rd in the Gin Talking. But this race in the Franklin Square, Horacio DePaz trainee, a Stonewall Star, attracts my attention. And is the second choice on the morning line. L Street Lady probably is the one to beat. But I also thought Sally Sassy, Jonathan Wong, coming in from Northern California, that they elect to come here for this start was very, very interesting to me. What are your thoughts in the Wide Country?
Yeah, she's an interesting, intriguing filly, right? 3 turf races. 2 races at Golden Gate on a synthetic. They moved her down to Turfway Park where Jonathan Wong has a string, shipping her up to Maryland. So kind of the unknown here. I mean, okay, you're looking at her buyer figures if you're looking at that strictly. Just nothing dazzling there, right? But who's to say that she won't improve stepping on the dirt track here for the first time at Laurel? So I really did not know what to do with her. I'm going to take a little bit of a shot in here with number 1, Gormley's Gabriella, as the price play of the day. Lynn Cash claims for $62,500 last time out for Built Right Stables, adding the blinkers today. A filly I've followed ever since the Maryland Juvenile Filly Championship, where she was 3rd, a closing 3rd, kind of against the bias that day. Rallied inside, wasn't really the place to be. Speed a little bit better that day. Then she ran kind of a flat 4th behind Malibu Moonshine in the Gin Talking, perhaps maybe just kind of lingering. Maybe that's the reason for the blinkers today, right? And she's back on Lasix as well this afternoon as she was in her last start. Intriguing claim here, Gormley's Gabriella with the blinkers on. Where will she be in the spot? Will the blinkers add a little more speed to her? I think they get a little bit of aggressive today. If not, she can settle, but I don't think she'll be too far back, as far back I've just seen her in some of her starts last year in the fall as a 2-year-old.
Yeah, that would turn out to be a very clever claim, picking her up and then coming in winning a $100,000 stake off the claim. Fun card, really intriguing card. There's some nice opportunities there, including your 10-1 pop there, Gormley's Gabriella. Dave, as always, we appreciate the visit, the conversation, and again, nice stakes action again down at Laurel, as there is every few weeks down there throughout the winter. But we appreciate the thoughts, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, we have a winter Mardi Gras celebration today here at Laurel. We have all kinds of Mardi Gras decorations and food, and I'm going to have me a piece of king cake right now.
Nice. Well, you got chew judiciously with the king cake.
Yes, got to be careful.
Yeah, you don't want to get the little baby in your piece of king cake.
I think we got the baby. King cake's on us today.
Very good, Dave. Again, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Appreciate it. Dave Rodman from Laurel Park. And as we went through, really nice stakes action. Fun day. Laurel Fairgrounds. You have Kathleen O at Gulfstream. We'll be hitting on a lot of that later this afternoon with OTB Live. And we'll kick that off in a few. But in the meantime, we will take one more commercial break. And we'll come back and hit on some more news and notes. We'll update you on Steve Asmussen. And you want to keep your eyes on his runners this afternoon as he is approaching a real milestone, and we'll update you on that situation and more with, again, little news and notes before we wrap it up for a Saturday morning. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
Back.
You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream, it was like this big fairy tale place. All the history.
Shoemaker's hitting perfectly still, he has to touch this magnificent Colvin, here comes the finish.
And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. And again, thanks to Joe Christofek taking us through some of the stakes action down at the fairgrounds. And also thanks to Dave Rodman taking us through the stakes action at Laurel. Two venues with some very, very nice action coming up this afternoon. I'm just pulling up the all-time trainers list because I wanted to see where Steve Asmussen was as compared to Dale Baird. Steve Asmussen, as I said, he's on the verge of a career milestone. He's three away from 10,000 victories. And currently, Steve Asmussen sitting with 9,997. He's number one on the all-time list now and got that milestone up at Saratoga two summers ago. But he's 99-97. Dale Baird, 94-45. So we're talking, you know, 500 victories ahead of the second-place finisher, Jerry Hollendorfer third, Jack Van Berg, King Leatherberry in the top five. The next five, Scott Lake, Todd Pletcher, Bill Mott, Wayne Lucas, and Richard Hazelton, who I admit I am not familiar with. But Asmussen sitting three away from 10,000. And it's always, he just has so many bullets, it's not going to be one of these situations. But it is always funny. It seems like when these guys get up to the milestone and they're two or three away, it takes like 3 weeks. Every tractor racing ad has the big poster ready for the winner's circle. And It seems like it takes a long time. That said, it's not going to take him that long just because, again, he has so many bullets. Now, he had, I believe he had 12 horses running yesterday, got no wins. And, again, it was at three or four different venues. Yesterday, he had three at the Fairgrounds, two at Sam Houston, six at Oaklawn, one at Turfway, and wound up with no wins yesterday. But today, Steve Asmussen has at Oaklawn, eight, at Sam Houston, eight at the Fairgrounds on the big card. He has nine runners tonight at Turfway, one. So, you know, we're looking at 20-some runners maybe. So, again, it will happen sooner rather than later that Steve Asmussen will break that 10,000 or get to that 10,000. It's just incredible numbers. 49,158 starts, 9,997 wins, $405 million in purse earnings. Just, you know, obviously incredible. You go to Equibase and you click on the top racehorse and you can go down and there are plenty of notables. Gunrunner, Curlin, Midnight Bijou, Untappable, Matoli, Jackie's Warrior, Epicenter, Rachel Alexandra. Just a real name of horses that have performed well on the track, and certainly you would think some Hall of Famers in there, clearly some champions in there, obviously, already. So, again, we shall see. Just I'm noting that, so as you're watching during the day and you have your PPs, you can open up and the Asmussen horses have a little extra flair, perhaps. And the question mark is going to be, where does it happen? I don't know where he is today. Basically, if you've been watching the simulcast signals, you've seen him in the paddock pretty much all season at Oaklawn. I mean, he's a Texas guy. Oaklawn's right next door. He bases himself at Oaklawn, I think, during much of their season. But I say I don't know where he'll be today because he has some stakes performers down at the Fairgrounds. So I wouldn't be shocked if he was down there today. But it'd be interesting to see where the record does happen when it happens, because, as I say, every track has the little poster all made up, and it's a little more intriguing or a little more fun for everybody if he's there when it, you know, at the track where it happens. But he has so many runners at so many different venues, hard to say where that might all come about. We talked last Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, about the Derby Future Pool last weekend and how that might play out if you wanted to jump in and play around a little bit. When we talked on Saturday, I want to say All Others was 4-1, and I thought, that's a pretty good price on All Others. Well, All Others, not surprisingly, wound up at 2-1. Still think that was okay, because don't forget, with last week's pool, the Baffert horses were in that All Others mix. Angel of Empire, who I like today, down at the Fairgrounds, 112-1. So there were some opportunities. I also took a little bit of Victory Formation and Verifying. Victory Formation, again, runs today. We'll see if my 23-1 works out nicely. And Verifying, 34-1. So there were some prices there on some individuals that I jumped in with. Forte wound up to be the shortest price of the individuals at 8-1. And again, for me, you're shopping around for 15 maybe, but more 20-1 and above, because you still have to get to the gate. You're months away, and you just have to continue on the trail. So I want enough of a price to reflect that reality. An 8-1. 8-1 is probably better than Forte would have been in previous years in pools, because now they've expanded this to 40 betting interest. But 8-1 is still a little bit short. Hoosier Philly at 11-1, I think, is the second choice. And we talked about this earlier. on the handicappers report, it's not that easy for a filly to get into the Derby anymore. They used to be able to kind of get in, you know, face fillies, face fillies, face fillies, and boom, face the boys in the Derby. Now they have to go out and earn some points versus the boys prior to the Derby. And, you know, do you do that, or do you think, we have a good filly, and we're going to put the Kentucky Oaks on our resume, and to get there, you know, we'll take a more traditional path. So with this one, you really are taking a debate about getting into the gate. So the 11-1 on Hoosier Filly was kind of a head-scratcher. Some other shorter prices on here. Again, Forte 8-1, Hoosier Filly at 11-1. 15-1, Tappet Trice, the nice Pletcher runner who looked so good the other day. Instant Coffee at 22-1. So there you start to get to 22-1 for Instant Coffee. That one's maybe a little bit interesting. But again, Litigate at 28-1. What was Hitch? Hitch Show was 28-1. Between those two, Hitch Show more intriguing to me. But there were some opportunities to maybe jump in, have a little fun. And again, I thought the 2-1 on the All Others with the Baffert horses in there was probably, you know, intriguing as well. And just before I wrap up, Dave Grinnick had an article in Racing Form within the past few days. Trevor McCarthy on his way back. Trevor McCarthy, he was injured in a spill on November 18th at Aqueduct, but this past Tuesday morning got back on horses for the first time in nearly 3 months, and he's looking, shooting for a March 3rd return. Wish the best for him. He had fractured a collarbone and a pelvic injury. But again, he's been working some horses. He's quoted as saying, just scraping off the cobwebs and the dust, getting fit. I feel great. I definitely have to get my legs back a little bit. I've been working out in the gym for a few weeks doing physical therapy. I'm not too far off where I want to be. So we'll root for him. Of course, married to fellow jockey Katie Davis. And a little further in the article, McCarthy was at Aqueduct on Sunday to watch his wife win the $100,000 Broadway Stakes aboard Funny How. McCarthy had ridden the filly in her first four starts, including the first two wins of the filly's five-race winning streak, but said Katie deserves to keep the mount when the filly runs back, expected to be in the Grade 3 distaff on April 7th. He's quoted as saying, that was really good for her. I'm really proud of her. I hope they stick with her, which I think they will. She's won two in a row on her. I couldn't be more happy for her. I guess the competitive spirit, when you got to go home and eat dinner with the other jockey. I can't see many situations where a jockey rides a horse and gets, you know, goes to the sidelines for some reason, sees another jockey win on the horse and says, yeah, the other jockey should probably keep them out. But when it's your wife, again, Katie Davis did ride her very well, so we'll see what happens with Funny How going forward. But I thought it was funny. You don't see that too often. Yeah, she should keep them out. But as I say, when you're going home and the other jockey is the one you're living with, I guess you can feel a little bit better. Well, and that's probably true too. The winner's share of the jockey's share of the winning purse goes right into the joint bank account probably. So that all works out as well. All right, I will wrap it up for this Saturday morning. And again, invite you 12:50 post time at Aqueduct today. We are looking at down at the fairgrounds. Their post time is going to be about 1 o'clock our time. I'm going to have some Gulfstream in the mix today as well. And our Gulfstream post time is 12:10. So we may be overlapping the Naira pregame with that. So I would say, you know, within the next hour and a half or so, we'll kick things off for an OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. So I want you to tune in for that. Do want to remind you as well that right here at the Clubhouse Racebook today, the Play the Board contest. If you'd like to come down and enjoy racing action here at the Clubhouse Racebook, you can also grab a little lunch at Fredella's and have a lot of fun as well, and maybe win a little extra something with the Play the Board contest. That's all right here this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Saturday edition of Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us as always. Enjoy the action this afternoon, and join us here if you're watching at home. Join us here on the network for OTB Live. Again, probably about an hour and a half or so. We'll kick things off for a Saturday afternoon. So we'll see you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.